we'd probably all agree that life has its great moments, doesn't it? And its not so good moments. There's those mountaintop moments and the desert days, you know, the sort of thing that I mean. There are those times when you feel absolutely on top of the world, and those others when it feels like you're just stumbling through the dust. Times when you feel well-fed, comfortable, surrounded by loved ones, everything's going your way. Others when you're hungry, thirsty, lonely, tired and disheartened. And the same is true in our relationship with God. We've got times when we feel really close to Him. Perhaps it might be at a Christian conference or a worship event or a retreat or a holiday, hopefully. Sometimes you feel it on a Sunday morning when you're in church. And then we've got other days when God seems very far away. When we doubt Him or struggle with temptations. If you feel like that, you're not alone. Everyone has those ups and those downs, those mountaintop moments, those desert days. And all Christians share in them, in our spiritual lives too. And not just Christians in 2019, not just us here today, but our heroes in the Bible as well. Even Jesus Himself experienced both. Great as mountaintop experiences are, our Lent series this year is going to help us to journey with Jesus through the desert wilderness instead. So today as we start, sort of proper, we launched on Ash Wednesday, but as we sort of start proper in earnest, I want to highlight three things that the Bible can teach us about our wilderness experience. Firstly, that wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. Secondly, that we're led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And thirdly, that wilderness is a place of worship and transformation. We're going to see that... wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. Oh, we've gone there, we've gone there. Oh, we've missed one out there. Da-da-da. Ah, that's it. Wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. Now, some people get all the breaks, don't they, with life? You know, everything seems to just be constant mountaintop experience. And you might sort of think that if you read the Bible with the people of Israel sometimes. You know, they experience huge mountaintop moments. Take, for example, the time they were led out of slavery in Egypt. When God parted the Red Sea, He allowed them to pass through while simultaneously destroying their enemies. God's people celebrated that rescue by singing a joyful worship song, by dancing, by playing percussive instruments. They were on top of the world when all that happened. But don't be fooled, the mountaintop experiences tend not to last forever. Very quickly, from those events, we go to Exodus 15 verses 22 to 24, when God's people reach a desert or wilderness called Shur. There's no fresh water there at all. And here, their joy quickly turns to grumbling. Their worship turns to distrust. They immediately doubt that God is actually with them. And similarly, in chapter 16, they reach another desert called the Desert of Sin. And here there's no food to eat. And they start to long for their days in Egypt. Oh, it was so much better when we were back there. We're just going to die out here. And they complain, and they whinge, they moan. And we had a bit of that when we were doing our little drama earlier on. They really do whinge, and yet in both deserts of Shur and Sin, God provides for them. He gives them fresh water and manna bread and quail meat. But why move from the mountaintop to the wilderness? Well, our passage from Deuteronomy shows us the reason. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way into the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what your heart was, whether or not you would keep His commands. That's what God did with His people, but it should speak to us as well, shouldn't it? Because as we've acknowledged, we too experience those mountaintop experiences and those wilderness times. When we're in those troughs rather than those peaks, how are we to view life? Are we to be like God's people, grumbling and moaning that God has abandoned us, or worse? No. When we experience the struggles of the wilderness, and we all will do, we shouldn't see them as punishments from God. or signs that God is uncaring or non-existent or even malicious. Instead, we should see that the wilderness is an opportunity for God to test our hearts. Do we really... It's easy to trust God, isn't it, when everything's going well. But do we really trust God? Will we really follow his commands when we're going through those tough times? As Deuteronomy goes on to say, you know, he gave you manna to eat in the wilderness and something your ancestors had never known to humble you and test you, that in the end it might go well with you. You might say to yourself, my power, my strength of my hands has produced my wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. You see? So, wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. Secondly, we're led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Excuse me, I'm just going to grab a drink. I've been in the wilderness and been all dry and thirsty. We're led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus begins his ministry in a very similar pattern to the people of Israel. He passes through the waters, not the Red Sea, but the waters of baptism in the River Jordan. And again, this is a mountaintop experience where the Spirit has descended on him and the voice of his Father speaks words of affirmation and devotion. You are my Son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. That's a great start to Jesus' ministry, isn't it? You'd expect Jesus now to sort of go from that straight into his sort of adult teaching and preaching ministry. You know, there's been this amazing experience. You know, all the business plan experts would tell you that now this is the moment to sort of crack on with it. The crowd will be right behind you. You're on to a winner. And yet that's not what happens at all, is it? Not anything like that at all. Unlike Israel before him, Jesus doesn't grumble and moan at God, but like them, he does go from the waters of the wilderness. Sorry, he goes from the waters to the wilderness. He goes from spiritual feasting to the struggle of fasting, from affirmation to loneliness and temptation. At once, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Have you experienced that? Moments when you thought God was calling you or sending you or empowering you, followed by setbacks and disappointments. Times of spiritual refreshing, followed by periods of dryness. Well, if so, take heart that you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. Wilderness can often be a place that the Spirit of God leads us to. It's not always, but it can often be a place that the Spirit of God leads us to, so that he can prepare us. It was the Father's plan to lead Jesus into the desert by the Spirit. And by his Spirit, he often leads us there too. Why? Well, because thirdly, wilderness is a place of worship and of transformation. Ultimately, God leads us into the worship so that we might be transformed as we learn to worship. Cast your mind back to Moses going and standing before Pharaoh. What was the message that God had asked Moses to deliver to Pharaoh? Was it, I want you to let my people go so that they can become a wealthy nation, so that they can become a powerful nation, so that they can simply be free from you, Pharaoh, and the slavery you put them under? No. In Exodus chapter 7 verse 16, Moses gives God's message to Pharaoh, which is this: let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. That's why God wants his people to be released, so they may worship in the wilderness. But worship in the wilderness might look very different to worship on a mountaintop. It's great to have those great joyful hymns. There's some fantastic sort of rousing modern ones. And, you know, thine be the glory as well. And those great old traditional hymns that really get you going. Yeah? And it's fantastic, and to surround banners waving and big crowds, hundreds of people. But worship that's always like that would be a little bit one-dimensional, wouldn't it? Because life isn't always like that, is it? Instead, God introduces us to worship of him in all of its fullness, and wilderness worship is part of that. It's often about taking away rather than adding more. It might involve aspects of worship such as fasting or solitude or simplicity. It might turn us towards silence or lament or giving things away. You might like the joyful hymns, the big crowds, new wine, keswick, the cathedral services. So all of this might seem a bit negative, a little bit downbeat. Not a crowd puller. But just think for a moment. Picture this in your mind. Imagine that you're walking towards Jesus. And he's got his arms outstretched, ready to welcome you, ready to embrace you. And your arms are out as well. And you look down, but your arms are like that. Because you're carrying loads of stuff. Not like that. You're like that. You're carrying loads of stuff. What sort of stuff is it? I mean, it might be good stuff. Things to do with worship or things to do with your life. So you might have musical instruments or computers or books or might food or drink or work things or your relationships and your family. Now, none of those are bad things, are they? In fact, you could say they're gifts of God. But God knows that for us to grow in him, we might need to learn to put down some of those things. Even if it's only for a season. And Lenten wilderness is about laying down some of those things until we have empty hands. Hands held out, ready to embrace Jesus, ready to receive from him, unencumbered by everything else that we think we need for worship and for life. So, some of us may feel that we've had wilderness times thrust upon us. We might be going through a desert time right now. So remember, God is with you. He never wants to see you suffer. But he is passionate to see you trust in him and to learn to worship in the wilderness. Now, other of us might feel great. We might be on the mountaintops at this very moment. But even so, we can actively choose to learn to worship in the wilderness ways. We can learn to find God in simplicity. And if we do, it will prepare us for whatever lies ahead. So wilderness is not a sign of God's absence. We're led often by the Spirit into the wilderness, and wilderness is a place of worship and of transformation. Israel was transformed by her wilderness worship. We can be too as we begin this season of Lent. Amen.